You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. It is Thursday, June 25th. That means it is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners.
Well, thank you. Good morning to you. Glad to have you with us this morning. What's new this week?
Well, a couple things. Next week, you're going on vacation and I'm going to Washington, D.C. How about that? I forgot to mention that to you. The seminary, and I want to make this kind of a clear statement here. Seminary, Concordia Seminary, received a grant from the American Association for the Advancement of Science. It's called Science in the Seminaries. I've had some letters from people call in and say, so now the seminaries, because this is an organization that occasionally, well, and they do promote Darwinian evolution and a lot of other things, but there's a lot of scientists that belong to this, like me, that are Christians. We've met some from Washington University and so forth, and this grant that we received, and this is probably important for people to understand this, because they've read some things about it. It's basically a grant to how do scientists who believe in Darwinian evolution, theistic evolution, creationary evolution, which is pretty much theistic evolution, how do they think about this stuff, and then how can we react to them from a biblical and confessional viewpoint of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? That's what our intent is. We're not going to be teaching Darwinian evolution. That would be really bad. You know, so the issue is, because we get questions from students, you know, well, how do we talk to these people?
Mm-hmm.
How can we be informed? So that's really what we're doing. And we're not on the first tier grant receivers on this, but we did receive some money to help educate guys on how do you think through these issues. And that's really what we're doing. So Tim Selesk and I, he's doing some stuff on Psalms and Exodus, and I'm doing things on how to preach in a biotech world. And, you know, things that I talk about here on His Time. So that's why I'm going to Washington, D.C., because I had some people call. Would you say something on the radio so other people know that this is what's going on? I said, okay. So sorry to take up that time there, Andy.
Well,
I just wanted to make that clear because it's important.
Sure. Why is it important that our seminarians and future pastors and church workers understand and have this education to learn about science in the seminary? Quite often we think have this misconception that there's a void or a huge distinction between science and theology.
Okay, here's the answer to that question. I have a book in front of me some people might say, why would you ever want a pastor to read this? It's called Faith versus Fact. And here's the answer to your question in a negative sense. Why science and religion are incompatible. And so there are people that say they're not compatible. Well, science is compatible with the scriptures when it's used as a handmaiden. That is to say, science in Latin means knowledge. And there's different kinds of, when you talk about science with people, most, of course, frequently you come up with the problems of creation and evolution from a lot of different viewpoints. And this is what the young people are facing in elementary school, environmental science, in high school with the creation of the Earth, 14.7 billion years ago, the universe, and all this other stuff that they read about. And so then they come to the Bible and they say, oh, well, I heard a guy say that this God uses the Big Bang. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that talks about this. So it's important to know how other people are thinking this day with the ongoing, and this is, I think, the whole crux of it, secularization of our society. This is a huge issue for young people. Dr. Selesk and I were talking about this yesterday at the meeting. You know, we've got to tell these guys, here's how you can structure your thinking. There's a lot of things in science. I mean, we have computers. Science just doesn't mean Darwinian evolution. There's medicine. There's good things that happen in the use of the science, but we don't want to get to the point of living a life like the people did in the city in the Tower of Babel with Genesis chapter 11, where you have, building a building is good. That was good, quote-unquote, structure, but it was abuse. And so we need to know where are the abuses occurring in science and how can we stand up and give a testimony for what we believe, teach, and confess, as Peter talks about. So it is important because right now with scientism, which is a phrase that says science has the answer for everything, it tends to be leading the show for a lot of young people. You know, we can fix everything. I have an article here in front of me that over in the Dutch Netherlands, now they want to give children under the age of 12 the right to die because they're, quote-unquote, suffering. So what's in suffering? You know, what can we do from a Christological viewpoint to help teach young people that start thinking about this and have their friends who are suffering know that Christ is in our suffering, for he suffered for all of us, took on the wrath of God at the cross in the empty tomb. So these are things that have to be dealt with because they are getting bombarded with the abuse of science, and especially from the standpoint of Darwinian evolution, materialistic evolution. And I know his issues, et cetera. I didn't make that conference. I was gone over to Good Shepherd, discussed a lot of these issues. And I think that we can't say, oh, you shouldn't know any of these things. No, they need to know what's going on, and then they need to know, okay, here's what God has to say. So we plant the seed and we water it. And obviously this is what you do at his time, because then God causes the growth. So I'm hoping that's kind of a simplistic answer to a very good question.
Mm-hmm. So there isn't this void. It is important for us to understand, and certainly to understand, have some knowledge of the other world views of those around us, so that we can boldly confess the truth and to distinguish the difference.
Yes, actually, that's the main point that you bring up, and you always have a nice way of summarizing things. I must admit, that was well done. Because what you're saying, too, is get back to the basics of the catechism and the scriptures. For people always are saying, boy, you know, how do I talk about, you know, I don't know much about Darwin. I just know that he believed, and other people now, and really before him, that life came from something as opposed to nothing. Well, but the Bible clearly says in the Old and the New Testament that he created this whole world from nothing, and it was his word that God is the subject, not man is the subject. And people can say, prove it. I don't prove it. This is faith issues. This is what faith does. Faith accepts the words and promises of the Lord. This is the way it is. This is where science comes along and says, oh, but you have to prove that. No, I don't. Jesus never proved that he was the Son of Man. He just said that he was. I was just sharing with two confirmands, with the Jehovah Witnesses that were visiting, and of course they don't believe Jesus is God. And I said, well, go to the story of the unbelieving Thomas, not doubting Thomas, unbelieving Thomas in the resurrection. And the Lord says, here, put your hands in my side and my hand, and be believing and not unbelieving. And it wasn't the touching of his hands into the wounds. It was the word of God that said, directed him to believe. And then Tom said, my Lord and my God. That's a phrase for witnessing to the Jehovah Witnesses who believe that Jesus is not God. But here's Thomas saying, here's Jesus, and he's God. So the scriptures and how we testify to this is you keep it simple, and you just share your witness with people. And don't get caught up in trying to think you have to know all of this stuff, but know the basics that here's what the world is saying and how it's secularizing everything. And so that you can just say, yeah, here's what God has to say, and off you go.
Well, very good point. Very good point. So how long will you be in Washington, D.C.?
Well, it's just a day and a half. We leave. We basically do a thing on Tuesday. I stand up and introduce Dr. Salisk and Dr. Aaron in telling about Concordia Seminary and Concordia Theological Seminary. We have a sister seminary in Fort Wayne. We've been doing this for over, 176 years, forming pastors, deaconesses, with different programs to uphold the Word of God and so forth, as the Scriptures and Confessions teach, and then tell them exactly what we're doing and I do in pastoral theology, and what Dr. Saleska is doing to integrate science as a handmaiden to Scripture in his course in Exodus and the Torah. So we have 15 minutes for that. So that's kind of what I want to do is just to let them know, because there are other quote-unquote believing Christians at this conference, and the people that we've talked with, actually from Washington University, one fellow from Pakistan, MD, PhD, is quite, I told him at a meeting not too long ago, I said, you know, you'd make a pretty good Lutheran, and because of what he was saying and what he was confessing. So that's kind of what we're doing, and then we come back and see how we can integrate science into our courses. And I think this is important. People have to take science and put it into the scriptures. If it doesn't agree with the scriptures, as far as we know, then it's what Luther says, it's bad science. He says that in Genesis commentary. You never take the Bible and integrate it into science, because then you can make the Bible do what it wants, and then the Bible becomes a science book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you never want to do from a confessional Lutheran position. Science always goes into the scriptures and says, does this agree with the scriptures? That's the point. And when it doesn't agree, then it doesn't agree. And that's what we have to tell people. And that's why I believe certainly both seminaries are doing on people throughout the world. And I know you do that on his time, especially on Friday. And that's kind of how things are going with the whole issue of theology and science.
Hmm. Well, thanks for the work that you're doing to make that happen. We're in summer term, or is that wrapping up soon?
Yeah, we're in the summer term. I'm teaching a class called in the Ethnic Immigration Institute of Theology. I have 8 men who are they're worker priests, basically students. They're working at churches. They're from various parts of the world. Some are from China. Some are from Maine. Some are from over in Taiwan, a couple from Africa, one gentleman. They're all American citizens, but they all are working with like Taiwanese and Vietnamese, and so they're taking classes to help structure their thinking in the Bible and the confessions. So I'm basically working through a class on how do you take theology in a very general sense and apply it to the life of Christians. So that goes through the summer till about the middle of August. And it's kind of an outcome-based education through the internet and discussions with them. So that's kind of what I'm doing this summer.
Well, very good. Very good. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. Always great to catch up with you. Safe travels. Godspeed.
Okay.
And we'll talk when you get back.
You bet. Godspeed to you and your listeners. Bye.
Thank you. Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, we have our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we'll study with the Reverend John Dietz from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Butternut, Wisconsin. We'll get into John chapter 21 today, verses 1 through 25. Hope you can join us for that. All coming up right after AP Radio News and the weather on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.